You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Pastor Twyman, we again give thanks to you for this opportunity. We are indeed grateful and mindful of this blessing that you have bestowed upon us, and we just want to take this opportunity to thank you. To all of my brethren in the ministry, to all of the officers, deacons, members, and visitors, we greet you in the risen name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know that it is a blessing to be in the house of prayer. Amen. Just one more time. I want to call your attention this morning very briefly to a very familiar passage of scripture found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and I shall read for your hearing verses 11 and 12. The gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. You have it? Just say amen.
Amen.
Reading there from the King James Version, you will find these words. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Our thought this morning comes from verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Our message this morning is, do it for my sake. Do it for my sake. All of us need a reason for the things that we do. We act for one reason or another. Behind all of our actions, there is a motive, a reason why we do the things we do. And here in the fifth chapter of the gospel as recorded by Matthew, these words sound in our hearts and our minds as we hear the Lord say, do it for my sake. Now, about 20 or 30 years after Jesus had gone back to heaven, a Jewish disciple by the name of Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a book. He had been inspired by God's Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The finished product is what we now know today as the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, nowhere in the four Gospels do we find a single word that Matthew spoke. He gives us the words and works of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the one in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. He was the one for whom the Jews had waited so many years for them to be delivered from Roman oppression. Jesus, the promised Savior. Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus, the Messiah, who had been promised throughout the Old Testament, the Anointed One. He was the one of whom the Old Testament scriptures did foretell. He is the fulfillment of the law of Christ. And he is God's redemptive sacrifice for all those who would put their trust in him. Yet tragically, the Jews did not recognize him when he came because his kingship was not what they expected. You see, this Jesus that they witnessed, that they saw and beheld with their own eyes, had been born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was the son of Mary and Joseph, a mere carpenter. He had not come to overcome Rome, but he had come to transform the hearts and lives of those who believed and trusted in him. To that end, we find Jesus here in this fifth chapter in the Sermon on the Mount. We find him here sharing the King's principles on what true righteousness is all about. Jesus gave this message to individual believers and not to the unsaved world at large. He originally gave these words to his disciples, and they have shared them with us here today. As our Lord ushered in the kingdom of God, he began with a positive emphasis on the righteous character and the blessings that it brings to the life of every believer. The Beatitudes describe the attitudes that we ought to have in our lives today. In verse 3, he begins by talking about our attitude towards ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. To be poor in spirit means to be humble and to have the proper estimate of oneself. Yes, sir. Secondly, in verses 4-6, we must have the proper attitude about our sins. Yes, sir. Yes. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Yes. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We must mourn over our sin and despise it. We must see our sin the same way that God sees it, and seek to eradicate it. We must treat it the same way that God treats it. Then in verses 7-9, we must have the proper attitude towards the world. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We experience God's mercy when we trust in Christ. And he in turn gives us a clean heart and gives us peace within. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, finally, in our text this morning, it is important that we have the proper attitude towards the world. Brothers and sisters, it is not always easy to be dedicated and a devout Christian. The truth is that we live in the midst of a society that is not a friend of God nor of God's people. Whether we like it or not, there is conflict between us and the world. And to tell you the truth, there always will be. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world praises pride, not humility. The world endorses sin and shuns righteousness. The world is at war with God, all while God is seeking to reconcile the world unto himself. He's dying. He's seeking to bring the world back to himself and in a right relationship with him. Jesus anticipated our conflict with the world, and sometimes our conflict even within the church. So to ensure that we would always maintain the proper attitude in our service for him, he encourages his disciples and us as well this morning, yes, sir, to do it all for my sake. Yes, sir. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When they talk about you, it's for my sake. It's for my cause. It's for my account. It's because of me. It's on my behalf. Do it for my sake. Do it for my purpose. This is the supreme command placed upon all those who belong to Christ, that you do it for my sake. When men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, do it for my sake. When men shall defame you, when men shall abuse you, when men shall attack you, when men shall criticize you, when men shall dress you down and chew you out and talk about you like you're not a child of God, Jesus says, do it for my sake. Do it for my purpose. Do it for my aim. Do it for my end. Do it for my motive. Do it for my sake. Keep on working in the vineyard for my sake. Keep on preaching in the vineyard for my sake. Keep on praying for my sake. Keep on teaching for my sake. Keep on trusting for my sake. Keep on singing for my sake. Keep on ushering for my sake. Keep on witnessing for my sake. And my brothers and sisters, if you have to suffer, keep on suffering for my sake. Do it for my sake. Jesus came for our sake. He came to ransom his life for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's why I don't have a problem doing it for Christ's sake. And I need to tell you before I take my seat at this time that this same Jesus who has commanded that we do it for his sake is the same Jesus that traveled down through 42 generations. He's the same Jesus that tabernacled here on earth for 33 long years. He is the same Jesus that went around doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. He's the same Jesus That's why I don't mind doing it for his sake. He's the same Jesus that one Friday night was betrayed of men. The same Jesus who was led from judgment hall to judgment hall. The same Jesus who was beaten until he was almost unrecognizable. The same Jesus who was led out to Calvary's cross. Same Jesus whom they put nails in his feet and nails in his hands. He's the same Jesus that they hung high and stretched wide. He's the same Jesus that died one Friday for your sins and for my sins. Same Jesus that they took down and buried in a borrowed tomb. Same Jesus that stayed dead all night Friday night. He's the same Jesus that stayed dead all day Saturday. Stayed dead all Saturday night. But he's the same Jesus that got up early one Sunday morning for your sake and for my sake. That's why I come to tell you this morning that I don't mind doing it for Christ's sake. I don't mind doing it for his sake. Whatever God has delivered you from, whatever he has called you to do, don't get distracted by what the world has to offer, but do it for Christ's sake. I don't know what he's done for you, but he saved my soul. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.